I've been trying to get away from this message, and I can't get away from it. Especially since we have guest preachers here, or pastors. I hate to preach something stupid when other preachers are here. And it's not stupid, it's just different. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Now, this message, most of it is going to be a testimony. I mentioned Sunday about something that happened to me 6 years ago. And I'm going to use that experience in this message. And let me start off by saying this testimony, although it happened to me, I have no memory of it. My wife told me most of it. Matter of fact, when I began giving my testimony after it happened, I would look at her and she'd be shaking her head. And I thought, oh, I've got it wrong again. Amen. So she finally wrote a journal, so I know exactly what, you know, and still I get it messed up every once in a while. But 6 years ago, we had just driven to California for a set of meetings, and the weekend started great. I think my wife said we ate at Outback on Saturday night. Had a blooming onion and maybe a steak, I don't know, amen. And Sunday morning was even better. We stayed in the Crown Plaza. Across the street from the Crown Plaza was Starbucks and Krispy Kreme. That's a breakfast of champions right there, amen. And so the Sunday morning started off good, amen. And my wife said that I was in AFib that morning, and I told her, on the way to church, if God doesn't do something, I may not be able to preach this morning. I have no clue what I was experiencing, how I was feeling. She knew something was wrong because I bought 2 Krispy Kreme donuts and only ate one of them. Amen. There's something wrong when I don't eat both my donuts. Amen. So when we got to church, my habit is to bring my guitar and stuff up to the front, and I'll be tuning my guitar, and then she'll be setting up the CDs in the back on the table. So we were in the process of doing that. And she was talking to a lady halfway back. And for some reason, the lady took her by the elbow and pointed her towards the platform area. And she said, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be looking at first. But she said, when I got focused in, it was me laying down on top of my guitar with my head drooped down on the first altar step. And so people rushed up to the altar or the platform. And one of the men said, don't move him. He thought maybe I'd fallen and maybe broken my neck or something. Don't move him. And then somebody else said, well, he's not breathing. And when they said that, they went ahead and turned me over. And my heart had stopped. I wasn't breathing. And so my wife says, do you have any nurses or doctors in the church? They said, we have 2. She said, call them and call 911. So they called 911. The nurses came in and started doing CPR on me. I don't know how long it took the analysts to get there. They took over the CPR, and they put the paddles on me, and they did the epinephrine and whatever they do to try to get you back, and nothing worked. And so they told my wife, his heart's not beating, he's not breathing, and we're taking him to the hospital. And like I told you Sunday, when I got to where I could function and read stuff, I read Facebook on that morning where my son said, pray for Pop, Mom. Just said his heart's not beating, he's not breathing, and he's going to the hospital. I thought, well, it sounds like I'm dead right there. And so it took me to the hospital. My wife followed. One of the nurses told her later on that one of the EMTs put my time of death on his latex glove, which they didn't declare me dead, but I think that starts the clock. I don't think they declare you dead for an hour, so that started the clock. But as far as they were concerned, I was gone, amen. And so when she got to the hospital, she wanted to go to see me and see if I was alive, whatever, and they wouldn't let her go in. And they tried to whisk her off to the finance department, amen. And this wasn't her exact words, but she said, I want to find out if the old geezer's alive first before I start paying money on him, amen. And so finally when the EMTs came outside, and she said his heart started beating in the ambulance on the way to the hospital. So obviously, well, that's a miracle that my heart started beating again after that long a time. But the issue then was my brain. And if I only had a brain, amen. But was already having issues, amen. But they hypothermiated me for 2 days. And for you kids, I was chilling for 2 days, amen. And matter of fact, they had a thermometer at the end of the bed. My wife thought maybe I was too cold. It was 30 to 32 degrees, I think. But that was Celsius, she found out. So it was about 87, 88 degrees, amen. And they paralyzed me and put me in an induced coma so I wouldn't shiver and where I wouldn't, I guess, just the trauma. They didn't want me to go through trauma. So I came to Christmas Day. Amen. And she wanted to be there when I came to, but when she came in, they were already taking the breathing tube out of my throat. And the respiratory therapist turned to her and said, you don't know how fortunate you are. Most of the times when I pull these out, it's not because they're alive. And the attending nurse, I mean, you're talking about bedside manners, so the attending nurse says, and those that are, don't come back. And she's talking about the brain. And of course, again, I don't remember this, but my wife said, when she said that, I said, I'm coming back. Amen. So I'll be back. I wish I remember saying it. Sounds cool. Amen. But I don't remember saying it. But anyway, that started a long road to recovery. I might have told somebody here, Charlie Clark's a good friend of mine. He pastors in New Jersey. I always call him on Christmas. And when I came to, well, matter of fact, when I came to, when the respiratory therapist left, my wife says she saw in my eyes question marks. And she said, where are you and what happened to you? And I said, yeah, I didn't have a clue. I don't even remember driving to California. I don't remember any of that. And she told me. Then 5 minutes later, she had to tell me again. And then 5 minutes later, she had to tell me again. I just no short-term memory. And so I was talking about Charlie Clark. I always call Brother Charlie on Christmas and wish him a Merry Christmas. And I was talking to Brother Clark, wishing him a Merry Christmas, and my daughter Joanna grabs the phone. She says, Pastor Clark, I'm sorry. Daddy doesn't remember that he already called you. I'd call him 3 times in the same hour to wish him Merry Christmas. And so later that year, I saw him at his meeting, and he said, boy, Christmas was a big day for you. I said, yeah, that's the day I came too. He said, that's not what I'm talking about. He said, you found out about it like 8 times. Amen. Every time I found out it was Christmas, I called Brother Clark. Amen. But of course, that's funny, but that's not funny, you know. And my wife finally, she told the Lord, she said, Lord, I think if he had died, I might have had grace for that, but I don't think I have grace to tell him every 5 minutes where he is and what happened to him. Amen. And so after a while, I began to remember that I was forgetting. You know, I would ask a question, they would tell me, and I'd say, oh, yeah. But then I'd ask a question again later on. But when they tell me, I said, oh, yeah. So I was remembering that I was forgetting. So they knew something was happening. I can't tell you anything spiritual that happened to me. I don't remember any of my doctors. I don't remember witnessing to anybody. I don't remember praying. I don't remember a lot of stuff. But December 27th, when I got woke up good and everything, I remembered that I always read my Bible, and I remembered I always read a proverb of the day. Whatever day it was on the calendar, that's the proverb that I would read. So I got my iPhone out. Some British guy, you know, quotes it to me, you know, and got my iPhone out and got the Proverbs 27, verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Brother Bart, I remember pausing my phone after the first verse. I thought, wow. I'd read the verse hundreds of times. Yep. but it didn't mean what it meant to me this time. I never planned on dying. I mean, my whole life. When I got saved, 2 out of 3 messages a week was on the second coming of Jesus Christ. I thought I was going to be in Bible college when he came. I thought, this is such a waste. I mean, I need to just go out and start serving God because he's going to come and I'm in Bible college and they're just wasting, you know. And then I got thinking, well, somebody's going to be in Bible college when he comes. Amen. In the perfect will of God. Amen. Yeah. So, but I'm just telling you, I knew that he was coming and I just never planned on dying. I mean, even when I got older, you know, I'm still... I'm healthy, I thought, amen, and doing crazy stuff, jumping off cliffs into the lake and different things. You know, I live, amen, I still live, amen. And I just never planned on dying. And when I read that verse, I thought, wow, you died. And an evangelist, you know, I've heard preachers say the 3 most important books in worshiping the Lord is the Bible and the songbook and the checkbook. Amen. But for an evangelist, there's another book. It's the date book. Amen. I mean, and my son-in-law used to get all over me. He's from Silicon Valley. He's from Brother Treber's church, you know, and I'd have my date book in my pocket. Dad, don't care that date book. Nobody cares date book. It's all on the smartphone. I said, that's just the way I do it. Amen. It's in my... But what happened to me that Sunday was not in my book.
Yeah, right. My brother. Yes, sir.
So I started having questions. One question I had was, why did I die and why did I come back? Why did I die was pretty easy because it's in the Bible. Sure. Mm-hmm. As it is appointed a man wants to die. We have an appointment with death. Whether you've thought about dying or not, you have an appointment with death. Death rate is 100%. This world is just one big graveyard. You're going to die. Why I came back is debatable. Now, my wife, I have to thank her for a lot of this. My wife, first, when I'm laying dead on the platform, she's telling God, it's something, you know, when you advise God on things, you know, give him some advice. She said, God, he can't die. I don't know my passwords and my bank accounts. I don't know how to pay bills. I don't know if he has life insurance. I don't know where he wants to be buried. He can't die. So God said, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, you know. Amen. And she said for a couple of months, she'd been meditating on miracles. And she had told the Lord a few times, Lord, I've seen you do big things in my life. I've seen you do big things in our ministry. But I would like to see a Bible miracle. So thank you very much for that. Man, glad I could cooperate. So that's the reason she said I came back. My reason, a little different. I always told my friends, if God ever gave me a Martin guitar and a pickup truck, I'd just go to heaven. And the summer before, Brother Clark's church had given me that Martin guitar. And I think I got halfway up to heaven and God said, oh yeah, the pickup truck. And he let me come back. Amen. But laying in a bed, and of course, I was in a stupor half the time. I was in a stupor for a couple months. Just everything was foggy. But when I did get a sober time thinking, I'm thinking, God, surely there's something to learn from this. And I can't tell you any great thing. As a matter of fact, my wife, when I first came to, she asked me if I saw anything. Because she said she was afraid I'd be mad that I came back, you know. And I said, I didn't see anything. It's just dark. It's just blank. But so many things I've thought about, you know, what are you trying to teach me? And so that's what I'm going to preach to you tonight. And they're all small things. They're not any major things, but small things. But God began to show me things and tried to teach me some things. And number one is this. And by the way, the title of the message, N-O-W. Now. That's the only time you know you have.
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Is now.
Yes, sir.
There's not a doctor in town, no matter how healthy you are,
Amen.
Not a doctor in town will guarantee you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, I don't know how many preachers I've heard preach, you could die right there in the pew. And we said, yeah, preachers, they try to scare you, and you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't even make it to Sunday school. Amen. Amen. So here, number one, you married folks, you need to know each other's passwords, bank accounts, how you pay bills, if you have life insurance, where you want to be buried. Am I going too fast for you? You need to know that. You need to know that. That you say, well, you know, when we get old, the next day, December 23rd, in the San Francisco Chronicle, there was a page and a half of death notices, obituaries, and I wasn't in it.
Amen.
But I guarantee you there was a 30-year-old that was.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. There was a 25-year-old that was.
Yeah.
Married, one of them lost their spouse.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just saying, I don't care who you are, now.
Yep.
When you get home, honey, do you have any life insurance? Where are the papers? Amen. And by the way, if you murder them, you don't get the money. Y'all understand it, right? Okay, just I'm thinking somebody, whoa, yeah. Amen. Where you want to be buried? Now, I told my wife, wherever I am. So, just heads up, you know, if it happens here, I'll be buried in Selins Grove, amen. It costs too much money to go across the state line, bodies, amen, it just costs too much money. Life insurance, all those things, find out. Find out what their wishes are, what their plans are. And of course, you can change those plans, but know what's going on, amen. Just simple things, but you need to know that. Number two, and I hate this part. Eat right. Brother Blanco, I can't believe you had a heart attack. You're so skinny. My arteries weren't skinny. My blood for months had been saying, pardon me, excuse me. And finally Sunday morning, I said, no, you're not going anywhere. They call it a widow maker for a reason. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Eat right. If you take notes, take this one. Everything don't have to be fried.
What?
You heard what I said. Everything doesn't have to be fried. Amen. Now listen, I'm not a fanatic, but I have moderated the way I eat. My wife wishes I would be more, amen. But the first 3 years after this happened to me, I was not thankful. I never thanked God that He let me come back because I wasn't thankful. I wasn't. And one of my grandkids got on my lap one day and said, Papa, I'm glad you're still alive. I thought, wow, it's not all about me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, she needs a husband.
Yeah.
My kids need a dad, still do.
Yeah.
I got some close to 50 years old. They're still knotheads. They need that. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Got grandkids now. It's not all about you.
Amen.
So eat right so your grandkids can have you a little longer. Amen. My papa, I loved my papa, but he died early. I'd like to spend more time with my papa, but didn't get to. Amen. So eat right. It's for other people, not just for you. Amen. Don't be selfish. Something a little more serious. If you have aught against a loved one, a brother, sister in Christ, whoever, if you've got a problem with them,
yep,
get it right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now.
Yes, sir.
Now.
That's right.
One of my own children, I made a decision that they didn't like, and they cut me off. No text, no phone calls. They wouldn't take my phone calls, nothing. I don't know how long it lasted. Maybe years. I don't know. When I came to, Brother Bard, one of my first questions was, has so-and-so called? Mm-hmm. My own child. I said, have they called? She said, yeah, they called.
Amen.
They called. If you're the offending party, you better get it right.
Yeah.
Because she almost didn't get to make the call. You understand?
Yes, sir.
She almost didn't get, because I'd have been gone.
Yeah.
So make the call.
Amen.
If you're the offended party,
come on.
Just be a Christian.
Yep.
And take the blame.
Yep.
And get things right.
That's it, right there. Amen. Yes, sir.
Was Jesus guilty?
No.
Did he take the blame?
Yep.
He became sin for us.
Amen.
Just take the blame and make things right.
Yep.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I mentioned the verse the other day. I'll mention it again. Only by pride,
yep,
cometh contention.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Well, but they. Yeah, and you're proud.
Yep.
But they're not going to get right. That's not your responsibility.
Yes,
you can't,
yes,
get right for them. Your responsibility is for you to get,
yep,
right.
Amen. Amen. That's right, brother.
You make the effort, and if they don't receive it, that's between them and the Lord.
Amen.
But at least you have peace.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You just take the blame. Be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Next, if you're not saved, you better get saved now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And most of you, most of us, you don't really know what I mean by now. You're not thinking the way I'm thinking. I'm saying now. But you're not finished preaching. You didn't get what I said. I said,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You don't know you're going to make it to the invitation.
Right.
I didn't even make it to Sunday school.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You better get saved now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
One time in my ministry, one time have I had somebody right in the middle. I was preaching a great message. Amen. Right in the middle of my great message, somebody starts walking. I ought to get saved now.
Amen.
And I said, hey, invitation's about 3 more points. No, I didn't say that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They got the message.
Amen.
It wasn't this message, but I mean, they got the message. You better,
yep,
get saved now.
Amen.
The way that I, whatever I did, mostly did, amen, we talked about that, is one of my choices to die. I'm not into pain. Not into suffering. I'm poor martyr material. Amen. I heard a friend of mine pastored in Evansville, Indiana. And somebody called me and said, pray for Brother Ford's family. Brother Ford was on his back porch, had a massive heart attack. He was dead before he hit the ground. I thought, yeah, that's a good way to go. Dead before you hit the ground. If you're not dead before you hit the ground, that's going to hurt. Amen. So I want to be dead before I hit the ground. Amen. That's the way to go. Amen. Quick. Or a bad car wreck. Now, I know this sounds, but I'm warped anyway. But I travel a lot, and that's a consideration. We were going on the 610 in Houston. I mean, it's crazy. And this guy in front of me had like a 29-yard long ladder sticking out the back of his pickup truck, you know, just. And I'm looking at it, and it's just about this high on me as I'm driving down the road.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, if he slams on his brakes, I mean, my head's just going to be rolling out on the highway, you know. And Brother Blanco had a bad car wreck. He didn't know what hit him. Yes. I don't want to know what hit me. Amen. I want to get to heaven and, God, how did I get here? He's, oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Amen. Or the rapture.
Amen.
The rapture. Amen. Just doing whatever you do. I mean, you might be sleeping. You might be at church. You might be golfing. You might be at the grocery store, whatever. And all of a sudden, you're, amen. But see, I can make light of those things because I'm saved. If you're not saved, you better pray for cancer. You better pray for COPD or some kind of debilitating thing that's going to give you enough time to get some sense and know that you need to be saved and repent of your sin, trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because between there and there, I don't think I had time to get saved.
Yeah, that's right. Amen, brother.
Because I was dead before I face planted.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice how you die, so therefore, if you're going to get saved, if you're not saved, you need to get saved now.
Amen.
Now. If you're going to witness to somebody, you better witness to them now.
Yeah.
Oh, preacher, I mean, we're in church. I'll know you got this message if just underneath the pew, you're texting a friend or relative and say, we need to talk after church. I got something important to talk to you about. Now. And you see, this particular point, there's two problems. They might die before you get to witness to them. Or you might die.
Yep.
Then who's going to witness to them? You're going to witness to somebody. Listen, Brother Horton, I don't know if this happened while you were with him or not. My pastor's neighbor across the street, he had talked to the lady and she was saved. And he assumed that her husband was saved. But he didn't know for sure. And he kept telling him, so one of these days I'm going to get over and talk to her husband and make sure. But he just, you know, things happen and you just assume and you're not, there's no urgency there, and so he just didn't. And one day he saw her out there working her yard, so he walked over. He says, I've been meaning to come talk to your husband sometime. And she said, my husband passed away a week and a half ago. And still he assumed that since she was a Christian that he was. And he says, well, at least he's in a better place. And she says, he actually was he wasn't saved. He brings it up two or three times a year in a message. He brings it up because it's still.
Yeah.
I'm saying we need to, if somebody God's put on your heart, you need to do it now.
Yeah. That's right.
The gospel is good news only if it's in time. If it's not in time, it's bad news. Amen. If you're going to witness to somebody, do it now. If you're going to live for the Lord, I suggest now.
Yeah. Right.
Now. I appreciate these kids.
Yeah.
Amen.
I like singing the way they sing.
Amen.
I cannot remember a church where kids sung as loud as you guys do.
Amen.
And I like it.
Amen.
That's the way I like to sing. Just open your mouth and let her fly. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Kids, I'm going to tell you something right now. You are not the future of the church. You are the church.
Amen.
That's good.
You don't have to wait until you grow up and say, now I'm... No, you're part of the church now.
Yes,
if you're saved, born again, you're a member of this church, you are the church.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I despise this. This is the future church.
On,
no,
brother.
No, they are the church.
Amen. That's good.
Some of them got more than you got.
Yeah, right.
Some, I mean, they're singing their guts out, and you're. Come on, get with it. Open your mouth, let her fly. Amen. Well, I don't have a voice. I told you I'm warped. I love sitting beside somebody who don't have a voice and they sing anyway.
Yeah.
I love it.
Amen.
And you know who else loves it? God loves it.
Amen.
I mean, He knows that your pride is not going to let get in your way of bringing praise and glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now don't get up there and sing, please. But in the congregation, hallelujah.
Amen.
God loves it. Amen. I mean, the Bible calls it a sacrifice of praise. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it's a sacrifice for us too. Amen. Amen. But if you're going to serve the Lord, serve Him now.
Yes.
Amen. Yep.
Well, everybody has their reason why they can't serve the Lord.
Yep.
I mean, kids, when I grow up,
right?
I know 40 and 50 year old that still hadn't grown up.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. When I grow up, I'm going to serve the Lord. My son, the reunion CD I gave y'all, I can serve the Lord right now. You remember hearing that song? I can serve the Lord right now. I can serve the Lord, do what's right, and be a man of God. I can serve the Lord right now. My little son, he was singing it. I thought it was so funny. I was traveling through this area and had a Christian radio station, and I'm hearing this song. I can serve the Lord right now. I can serve the Lord right now, right now. And he sings bass now. And he's singing that. Amen. Kids, you know, when I grow up, I can serve the Lord. And then when they get to be teenagers, well, you know, I got too much, there's too much going on in school. When I graduate, well, now then they go to college and they got two jobs and they're putting in 20 credit hours, and they don't have time to serve the Lord.
Right.
When then they get out, they got a job and they get a family and they're working two jobs and they're trying to pay a mortgage. They don't have time to. When is it going to be convenient to serve the Lord?
Amen.
It never is.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
It wasn't convenient to hang on a cross.
Right.
If you're going to serve the Lord, serve Him right now.
Yeah.
And then you get old. You've wasted your whole life. Then you get old. Well, we'll just let the young people do it. Well, the young people ain't doing it.
Yeah.
And you ain't done it your whole life by the time you started.
Amen.
I got a friend, I mentioned him, Brother Earl Hughes, who got a hitchhike to his meetings. One time he said he's under a bridge and it was raining, nobody picked him up. He said, I quit. God, I quit. He said, finally the Lord showed up under the bridge and said, Earl, when did you actually get started? He said, yeah, maybe I need to get started before I quit. Amen. Amen. It's never convenient to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
But when are we going to do it? Yeah. You know who God called in the Bible? You know who He called? Busy people.
Amen.
He didn't call people on welfare. He called busy people. He called people who are working. Elisha is plowing with, 10 or 12? And he was he was yoked up with the last ox. Amen. Plowing. God said, yeah, I can use that guy. He's busy. But I just don't have time. Let me give you a verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. If you give God time, He'll give you time.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I'm just... before this happened to me, I mean, I lived on a hill, going on the mailbox, walking up the hill, and I'm thinking, I'm just getting old, you know. You don't know what old people are experiencing, but you figure this got to be part of it. Walking up this hill and huffing and puffing, amen. I've never smoked it. Well, I gave up smoking when I was 7. But anyway, but I never smoked, and I'm puffing and puffing. I didn't know I had problems, but I'm thinking just part of getting old. And I was getting tired of the road. I was getting tired of traveling. And week after week after week after week, revival meeting, I'm getting tired. And I wasn't before. I was excited about it. So I'm just thinking, well, maybe I'm just getting old. And I need to slow down. And I found out it was a physical problem. And I got to rethinking doing too much. And God told me, it's not time to retire. It's time to refire.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm saying this to you old coots. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire.
Amen.
Amen. I preach in a lot of churches, and that's all that are there are old people. When I go to church and I'm the youngest guy there, they are in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I don't care how old you are, if you still sucking wind, you can still serve God, and God's got something for you, and you need to get busy and start doing it. I don't have any talents. I don't have any abilities. God's not ever asked anybody for talents or abilities.
Yep.
He's asking for a body, and you got one.
Yep.
Amen, sir.
Amen.
If you got a body, He can use you. I just don't know what my gift is. You know, they write these. Your gift. Come ask preacher.
Yeah.
What if I mess it up? Have you ever messed anything up? You ever messed anything up? Hey, amen. We all mess up.
Amen.
It's just some of us, we're not so proud. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We mess up. Guess what we do? We try again.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The righteous falleth 7 times. Amen. You know how righteous can... How can the righteous fall 7 times? That means they have to get up 6.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I'm saying it's time to serve the Lord now.
Yep.
That's the only time you know you got.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I guess I'm done. But I hope, I pray that you remember now.
Yeah.
I never thought about now till what happened to me happened.
Yeah.
I never knew how important now was until there almost wasn't another now. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved tonight. If you're going to witness, you might want to give them a call tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Set up an appointment tomorrow. Do what you got to do. Amen.
Amen.
At least pray.
Yeah.
Everybody in here, if you're saved, God has a place for you. And a job that only you can do.
Amen.
I never forget years ago, Brother Jack Wood, great preacher friend of mine, prayer warrior in his church, died. He got up to preach. He'd only preached 5 minutes. And he closed his Bible. He said, I can't preach. Sister so-and-so passed away this week. She would be praying for me right now. And she's not praying for me. He said, somebody needs to take that job.
Yeah.
Oh, just praying?
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
It's the most powerful thing you can do.
Right.
I'm just saying, let's serve God.
Amen.
Let's give Him everything we got, hide, hair, and all.
Yeah.
Give it to Him. I'd rather burn out than rust out.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Don Green's a good friend of mine. He pastors up in Lansing, Michigan. His dad felt a call to preach when he was in his late 20s, almost 30. And he went to his pastor for advice on what he should do. And his pastor told him he was too old. By the time you go to Bible college and seminary, you'll be almost 40. And it's just really too late for you. And so he followed his pastor's advice and didn't pursue it. When he was 49 years old, his son-in-law had been first year at Arlington Seminary, J. Frank Norris's school, was home for the summer, was helping his father-in-law roof his house. And while they're on that roof, he says, "Somebody told me that you felt a call to preach when you were younger." He says, "I did." He said, "When are you going to preach?" So when he's 49 years old, he sold that house he was roofing, went down to Arlington, Texas, went to J. Frank Norris's school, graduated, came out of college, went back up to Michigan, started 13 churches,
Amen.
Trained over 100 preachers,
Amen.
Had a 30-year ministry Amen. Before he passed away.
Amen.
Yeah, Earl, when did you actually get started? Maybe we ought to start. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Appreciate the Word of God. I know it's been kind of different tonight, but I pray that you'd help us to see the urgency of now. Might be somebody here that's not saved, and I pray you'd help them to see. And I know they've heard preachers say this, but it's so true. They could die before morning. They could die on the way home. Just so many things could happen, Lord. We need to get saved now if we're not saved. So I pray tonight to see the urgency, the need of getting saved. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, I pray you'd help us see the urgency. If we have lost loved ones or friends or relatives or co-workers, God, we better get to them now. God, help us to see the urgency of it, the need. And God, for those of us that are saved, I also pray that, Lord, just every warm-blooded body in this building has a job. And if we don't know what it is, we need to figure out what it is and get busy for God. And God, do a work in our hearts. We surrender to you the best we know how. And God, would you use us for your glory until you come back or until we meet you. God, help us to be faithful to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.